This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
For all the times you fell in love at Starbucks, when your sex life is running out of luck, if you think that your relationship won't last, or you simply want to be put on blast, then go ahead and get some advice. Oh, from Jake and Amir, they'll do their best to wash away all of your fears. Jake's mama don't like it when he talks about sex, especially anal or STD tests. But if that's the kind of thing that you'd like to know, oh, then go and listen to this podcast show. So if you've got a problem but don't have a clue, then baby, listen to If I Were You. And if you're lost and don't know what to do, then baby, listen to If I Were You. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-da-ba, ba-da-ba-ba-ba-da-ba, ba-da-ba-ba-ba-da, ba-da-ba-ba.
Hey.
Oh, sorry. Hey, we're talking about Bieber.
Yeah.
We're talking about Bieber, that whole song.
That was very organic. That was, like you guys noticed, a Love Yourself by Bieber parody by Dylan Barstow. So thanks, Dylan, for writing that in. Murph and Emily in the studio.
Hi. Hey, hey.
We were talking about your love of Bieber.
Yeah, Bieber came back. Bieber came back around.
Do you like his personality or his music or both? Do you like
he changed.
All of it?
He grew up.
I don't know if he grew up or not.
He grew up, man. Musically.
I think you hear a little bit less about him being a piece
of
shit.
The app, musically?
Look, okay, you want to talk about that song that's like, to now?
Oh, baby.
Come on,
oh, baby,
man.
Baby.
There you go.
Well, it's
that's
like
the
an 11-year-old boy versus yeah. like
right,
a 25-year-old.
So now he's a teen.
Now he's a fully grown 18-year-old.
He's a fully grown 15-year-old
strong
kid.
Teenager. Eventually, he'll be a man.
Are you into Bieber, Emily?
I definitely like his new stuff. In terms of his personality, I guess I don't understand why everyone wants like their pop stars to not have shit show lives. Like when he was like peeing into like trash cans and shit, like great, that's all part of the allure. I don't have to like the pop star.
Yeah, right. Who's the most famous person who's like, I don't know, I go to bed at 10 and wake up at 6.
Actually, Miley Cyrus, if you read, I remember when she was like, when everyone's like, she's a wild card, she's doing drugs. If you looked at her Twitter, she would just be like, wee, got home from tour, can't wait to organize my house. I love cleaning. And I was like, oh, you're just a sweetheart, aren't you?
But isn't she also kind of crazy? She does like crazy, weird sexual shit on stage.
Yeah, but I think she lives a really tame life. I think she's Prince style.
Sexual, you know how, dude, don't demonize her.
Yeah, man.
But like you're talking
about shaming Miley, and
oh
she's just being Miley.
This
is
a
true.
Super like 2015 conversation.
Yeah, talking about whether Miley's a
whether
bad
Miley's
girl.
Too sexual or not, and how Justin has grown up. Because even that song was that sorry. What which song
Love
was
yourself.
That? Love Yourself. That yeah. song's a few years old.
Nah, it's like a year old.
in this day and age, hon.
Yeah, that might year,
that might
thing.
As well be a
oh
decade.
Don't hun me on the cast.
Hun.
Don't hun me on the cast.
This is a hun cast.
I hun Blumenfeld
now.
All the time.
This is If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the internet, hosted by Jake and I. And
wait, we said who wrote that song?
Yes, Dylan Barstow.
Sorry.
And today we're joined by old friends of ours. We're now old friends because we've known each other for over 5 years.
Oh, is that the cutoff when you become when you go from young friends to old friends.
Yeah, and so now
we've grown up. When the friendship Bieber style. Gets
grace. Yeah,
you did used to have a Bieber haircut when I first
met you. I kind of did.
Wow, no yeah. wonder you love him.
Remember you're fucking right? tracking.
Well, I grew
the
up too. I grew up with Bieber. Now I got the Bieber, you know, undercut or whatever the hell you call it.
Did you grow up or glow up? What's the difference between the two?
I would say I glue up. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do have a lot of glue on your
hands.
Was
that the past perfect version of glowing up?
Yeah.
Glowed up.
I yeah. glowed up.
I glowed up.
Is there an official difference between those two? Or just like when you become stronger and hotter?
Grow up is when like you get more mature. Glow up is when you get shinier. Yeah.
So just the shine.
You get more beautiful. Yeah.
More beautiful.
That's even better than growing up.
Yeah.
I want to be like done glued up, you know?
Yeah.
That's just when you put glue on yourself.
That's a bad thing to be, it seems.
Uh-huh.
All right. We got some real questions from real people. And then I want to talk to you guys about the 5.5 things you're working on, including a new podcast with Jake.
Oh, that's yeah.
the thing. Yeah, baby.
But first, let's get into it right quick. Otherwise, we'll never get to any of these questions. Hold on. Wait for it. Okay. Here we go. We need a girl's name. Emily, do you have a fake girl's name?
Yeah, Sasha. Nice and porn starry.
I like that. Sasha writes, I've been dating one of my coworkers for 9 months, but nobody at my work knows, and we don't even think anyone suspects anything. I don't want to give out anything too personal, but he is a, quote, engineer 3 level, while I am a, quote, engineer 2. He's not my boss or manager and doesn't have any power over me. I haven't gained any favors or anything because of this relationship. It's completely separate from work. We looked up our company's policy, which says, quote, if two employees should become involved in a romantic relationship, the company reserves the right to change work assignments. We don't want this to be a secret forever, but I really do see a future with us. His lease is ending this summer, and we're looking for a place together, so we thought people should probably know about us if we're living together. My idea was to tell another coworker who we're both pretty close friends with and see how she reacts and what he thinks we should do. He reacts and see what he thinks we should do. What do you guys think we should do? We both love working there, and we don't want this to ruin either one of our careers. As a side note, I'm the only woman in our department. Does that change anything? Does this reflect badly on me?
Oh, my God.
Much love, Sasha. Does this sound familiar?
I have such a good idea.
Yeah, what do you think?
I think she should come out as dating someone else.
Oh, and then see how it goes.
And then if it goes poorly, she's like, psych, I would never date that person. Y'all fell for it. But if it goes well, she can be like, actually, I'm really dating this person.
So
why add that second level of lie, though? Why not just pretend she's not dating the first guy, the original guy, right?
Because then people would be suspicious. Like, she comes out as dating, like, a real uggo.
Like that a everyone's random like, dude.
Yeah, everyone's like, what? And everyone I've never even like, seen you guys talk.
Mm-hmm. And then she says, and then they're like, all right, that's fine. You're like, actually, I'm dating this guy. And then everyone's like, oh, you can't date that guy. It's like, all right, fuck.
But you were cool with it when I was dating the ugly dude?
I quit, I think.
Discrimination.
The boss would just be like, what is this crazy, weird background?
Why is the company always has this policy where it's like you have to declare? We have
that
to
when
know.
You read this question. Oh,
I think it's because if somebody's above you or something, if you're a manager though and you're dating like a new employee or something, I don't know. That's kind of weird, right?
It's kind of weird. But why does the company be like, oh, it's policy
and
that
it's
we
our
should
right
know?
As your
yeah,
boss.
Yeah, it's strange.
Also, we want to know who's hooked up.
Yeah, you have to just declare imagine that. The HR guy who made that.
He's just
rule.
He's into like. Juicy
oh, yeah.
gossip.
If you're hooking tell up with any more. Of the interns, you have to tell me. And you have to tell me in great
it's
detail.
Company policy, actually.
It's company policy. You have to tell me everything that you've done.
When was the first time you got head? It's company policy that I know.
If you've had sex 4 times or gotten head 8 times, I need to know about it.
Are you 69ing?
It's company policy. huffing spray.
Are you looking at my Boyle?
Of course not. Danny Boyle.
You guys started dating at work. I'm fiancéed to a former coworker of
mine.
That's
the word, I think.
Yeah.
So did you guys declare?
Yep. You guys know you were fiancéed for
we were
a little
fiancéed,
bit.
Sure.
We were fiancéed,
did
yeah.
you guys declare?
No, I didn't. I did not declare. Did you guys declare?
But people, well, I mean, our workplace was pretty casual. Like, Sam knew.
Yeah,
Sam knew, but that knew was only because office, we...
But our workplace was casual, but, like, there's definitely an IAC
rule,
policy.
Yeah, that's true.
There's, like, a weird... there's, like, a contract and all that weird shit.
Yeah, I think they just have that stuff there, though, in case stuff goes bad, that they can say, hey, we have this in our contract.
Like, yeah, right. you were supposed to say something. I think companies probably don't totally care that is, much. Right? It's so if somebody else doesn't get... If somebody else doesn't get promoted or something, they can't be like, he was fucking the boss or something like that. And then they can sue the company or something like that. But
yeah, it's so also, it's not illegal. They just want to know. So I'm confused as to why that's the rule. Like, I think we can't do anything about it. We just want
to
know.
Emily's right that it's there to like protect against being sued for something that like the fallout from this thing.
Yeah.
Right?
So that also, they can be like, well, you didn't disclose it.
Yeah, so what if they did disclose
actually
it? Then
care.
They can get
They just
sued?
Want to be able to like in it's in the fine print that like
I think it's so that it's if their fault. Bosses if a boss was dating an intern, they could be like, hey buddy, you gotta cut that one off at the knees because not the intern, the relationship, because that's
right, like we
dangerous.
We were both staff writers on the same level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if I was like
did you have to disclose that?
If you were like the janitor and I was like the CEO.
Ooh, now we're getting into
the
CEO.
This is the one example. Turn off the mics.
That's the one example no one would care about.
And let's say I was like working too much and I like didn't have a personal life and like that's why we kept running into each other.
This is a good show.
Because you work the night shift, but I work through the night.
Oh, that's cool.
Have you seen The Shape of Water? It's not too dissimilar from this.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. It's a janitor and a fucking prisoner.
Yeah, but that's kind of like a janitor love story.
It's also similar to Good Will Hunting because the janitor is a hero in that sense.
Or Shawshank Redemption because a prisoner gets free.
Or Made in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Which I think is actually really close.
We're just naming movies we like, right?
It's Jennifer
Lopez. Yeah, let's just
Lopez
keep listing movies.
Hot,
2 weeks
rich
notice.
Hotelier.
Yeah, Hugh Grant and Sandra Bullock. I don't know if either of them were a janitor.
Oh, speaking of Sandra Bullock, it's that Sandra Bullock Ryan Reynolds flick.
Oh, I like that. Boy. The proposal.
Yeah.
Yeah, the engagement.
The engagement.
Yeah, the rule.
I've never seen it, but
rules of engagement? No.
Yeah.
Do movies like that still get made?
I think so.
Like movies where people are leaning on each other on the cover. Just two like superstars leaning on each
quite
other.
Stand upright.
I feel
and
like there's not
tell,
as much leaning
you can
now.
Kind of tell that they took the pictures apart and then photoshopped them together.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like what they got replaced with is those like Christmas Day and Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
New Year's movie where it's like
it's always like
a
holiday.
Yeah, now it's just like 40 A-list celebrities.
Yeah.
Like, how did you guys all made like a pact to make a bad movie for a shitload of money?
Yeah, so like, they paid us
Mila
a lot of
Kunis
money.
Talk to Meryl Streep.
No, I don't think they ever met. They shot it like that Arrested Development season where like everybody just shot by themselves in a room for a week and got $2.5 million. Which I can't wait for Game Night, which is supposedly an amazing comedy that's coming out with a bunch of A-list comedies stars.
I saw a preview for that.
Yeah. Is it supposed to be good?
No, I don't know. It's just another one of these movies.
I don't know.
I can't tell what's an
anything,
ad and what's
but
not.
It's like, it looked like a joke when I saw the trailer for it.
Yeah. It's one of those comedies that comes out in late February, you know what I mean?
Yeah, one of those pieces of shit.
We really got to release something on February 26th.
Anyway, I think this person doesn't have to disclose anything to HR, but tell your friends.
It seems like her plan is pretty airtight, which is to just run it by a friend and be like, what would you say if me and Dan were doing it?
Don't run it by anybody that could conceivably have a crush on you because she's the only girl in the department.
Yeah.
So imagine she talks about it to somebody who's secretly been in love with her.
Oh,
and then
boy.
That's an awful idea.
Yeah, or he rats them out.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Remember, what if she just started like an office gossip email chain?
Ooh.
And then got someone else to leak the gossip?
You're into
this
like
fucking devious.
This like deep state.
I just think, why do anything directly when you could like do it really, really, really
directly? Like, you don't order lunch on Postmates. What you
do is
hire a homeless person to call a Chipotle.
What Emily does is she floats a rumor that she's interested in lunch. used to do like the showing up to the holiday party as somebody's date. Do you remember? Like, that's how Caldwell and Suze.
Oh
yeah.
Announced themselves. They walked into the holiday party holding hands.
They debuted.
Everybody was just drunk and like, yeah.
How did you and Jillian debut?
You leaked that sex tape on Twitter.
Yeah, we had it.
That was a Periscope.
It was so sad because it's like limited to 2 minutes on Twitter. So it was really just her to hook up with you. And we never got to see the sex.
Yeah. And Jillian was off screen.
Mostly bag tape. I don't know if we did debut. I can't remember. It might have been like a similar thing to like this person is talking about. Like just one person.
It's also...
One person finds out, then everybody finds out.
Right. Our work situation was so casual that it was just like, yeah, everyone knows you're dating, you know?
We all
hang out all the time.
Yeah,
and we saw you two make out last night.
Also, you're fired. You didn't disclose it to HR. The pervert in HR needed to know. All right. You want to get to another question?
Yeah.
This one is from a dude. Murph, do you have a name for a dude?
A dude.
A dude is his name?
A dude. That's a dude.
Oh, very Game of Thrones.
Yeah. A dude starred.
A dude has no name.
That's his last name. I'm in a fairly odd situation, and I couldn't think of a better person to ask than you to because of the subject matter.
He's talking about me and Murph.
Murph,
right?
And I'm sure.
The subject matter, .. is gay. Literally, this New Year's Eve, a guy I knew back from high school who I had recently remet at a party offered me $250 cash to give me a world-class blowjay. I initially declined simply because I was 45 minutes away, drunk, and with my girlfriend of the time. He upped his offer to $500 and said that this was a one-time deal. I said no and decided to fuck my then-girlfriend that night. Well, 3 days ago, surprise, she dumped me. We were both too busy and a long-term thing wasn't working. My question is, should I try to cash in on this guy and sell myself, even though he said it was a one-time offer? I'm afraid to ask him again and have him be embarrassed because he was uber drunk when he asked. I'm not really attracted to him, but I could probably get it up with porn and a warm, moist oral cavity. What would you do? P.S. I'm bisexual, so I'm not a stranger to hooking up with guys. Shout out to Jake. How are you, brother?
Fine, thanks.
Jake, should he bore himself out?
I think he should just do it for free.
Like, get the blowjob for free?
I think he just, like, if he's curious, I think he shouldn't, like, reach out to him and be like, hey, is that $500 offer still on the table? I think he should just be like, hey, I broke up with my girlfriend.
Could go for that blowjay now. Yeah. But then once you get it for free, it's hard to start charging for it.
Yeah, I don't think he should charge for it.
Unless your dick is, like, a drug.
Okay.
First of all, I have one opinion, which is that I think if you are offering someone $500 to let them,
to blow them, I'm giving you $500 and I get to blow you.
Right. Then you don't have a world class blowjob skill.
So you're saying this guy, if this guy was good, he can probably.
Or maybe he's
give
paying like an entrance fee. He knows if I pay you $500 just one time to blow you,
I'm only going to be doing
$20 next time, man.
It's like crack cocaine. They gave it away for free in the 80s so that people get hooked.
Right. So, yeah, it's super crack because you're like, I'm going to give this away to you and give you $500.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, more money to you or something.
That's good. You get your cash back.
But he already has the cash.
Of course.
Anyway, I like the text, broke up with my girlfriend. Hey, broke up with my girlfriend. But I think you should get the cash.
Yeah, really? if he offers the cash. I'm just saying, like, by being like, broke up with my girlfriend, you're letting him offer again rather than being like, do you still want to pay me $500?
Yeah. I don't think this was actually a one-time offer, but I do think that it goes back down to $250 if you're like, hey, how about the blowjob that you said?
Yeah.
This is a supply and demand thing.
Cash.
Yeah, also, the offer goes down if you're sober, I bet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think you got to sidestep it.
Ooh, maybe wait for another notoriously drunken day. Like maybe wait for St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Then send
the text. That's
coming
up. That's like March 17th.
That's soon. Yeah.
Then you send the text on a day that he might be drunk.
Yeah.
So that you could try and
get that deal again.
That's yeah.
Cool. Or you just like wait till like a drunk time, like 1:45 a.m. Send him a Venmo request for $500.
Request.
If he accepts, then you show up
with a little moist symbol.
What were you saying? The sidestep.
I think you so that it's not actual prostitution. You send
oh,
the
you're so straight-laced.
Oh, excuse you.
Oh, you're
you
against prostitution yeah. all
you
of a sudden?
You send the text that says, just broke up with my girlfriend, and then you say, I've really wanted to go do, and then some expensive activity. Like you're a hockey fan or something, you want to go get those $500 tickets
Can
or something.
Can I blow you on
yeah.
the ice?
So you go... You get them to take you out on an expensive date, and then you get blown after the date.
Oh my God!
Lavish me with
less
gifts.
Honorable.
That's you're,
I think
you're
that's
like
less
getting
honorable.
Sugar daddy.
It's more honorable on a technicality.
Please, this is not illegal, Your Honor. I just paid for the food. I happen to get a blowjob.
I also bet this guy. Actually, I disagree with Jake. I bet he sucks a mean dick.
You think?
Because it's like, I think that it's something that he loves to do, clearly. So he's going to be passionate
Yeah,
about
if you want to suck a dick
that's
that bad, how could you not be good at it?
The that's only a, thing you that know, you need to suck a mean dick.
I totally acquiesce.
If someone paid you $500 to suck your dick, they want to suck your dick so bad.
Then yeah,
would do it with such fervor.
Oh, man. Just like cock worship.
Yeah.
My God.
But what if then you just explode so early? It's like, I paid you $500 and you lasted eight seconds.
That is true. I think that a dude, you have you have an obligation to try and last as long as you can.
Yeah, you gotta let him milk it, right?
Well, it sounds like this guy will probably milk last a decent amount of time because he said he thought he could get it up if he watched porn. So like, how bi is he if he's like, he's just not attracted to the guy.
He just
not attracted to this dude.
Guy.
Yeah, you think all bi people are attracted to all guys?
That's obviously not
so
what I said.
Disgusting.
This is that don't trigger me.
It would be kind of awesome though if instead of being like, "Hey, is that $500 offer still up?" if he made it like a game, if he's like, "Do you still want to blow me because we could see how long I could last and then you can pay me according to that."
Oh,
a dollar for every minute.
Yeah.
Whoa,
and then you
no,
get completely
you get...
trashed.
That's like Win Ben Stein's blow job. So you're actually going up against a few other guys and whoever lasts the longest gets the cash.
Whoa.
There's like that's like a thing in porn, the blowjob contest.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So what's
it's like
the contest?
whoever makes somebody finish first that
wins.
That porn star wins.
And is it the same guy or are you using
a fun
different guys?
Healthy competition.
Yeah, that's very sweet.
Are you using different guys? Because then it's sort of cheating.
Yeah. It would be like a row of guys and a row of people.
Oh, I see. So
yeah,
it's like a pie eating
like
contest.
Different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I think it's like a roll of the dice, too. Yeah. Like, you know, the guy might be nervous.
It's more on the guy.
Unless they all bring in their own guy and they know, they're like, oh, this guy, quick squirt.
Yeah.
You can squirt real fast from a bad blowjob.
You've always
it's
said
just,
that.
You know, that's an old Murphy saying.
You're wearing a trucker hat with that.
That was the first thing he said to my dad.
Yeah.
When he met him.
I just want to say, Mr. Axford, that I can squirt from a bad beach.
Sir.
Sir.
And I like your daughter's hand.
And then I threw up on his shoes.
Oh, God. Just a gallon of milk all over his floor.
I'm not even drunk. I've just been doing the gallon challenge.
So you did the gallon challenge, met Emily's dad, told him you could come from a bad blood drop, and puked dairy all over his new...
I thought I would impress him by all the milk I could drink.
My dad sent me to Canada and tried to set me up with another guy.
That makes sense. Did we even answer this guy's question? Oh, yeah. What would you do? What would you do if you were the guy? Real quick. What would
I
you
would
do?
Wait for a drunken time, then text him and just say, broke up with my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Text him, get the other guy to take him out on an expensive date, and get blown.
I can't believe you're trying to
dude, WrestleMania's in New Orleans this year, man. What do you think?
That
me and you going? Go to WrestleMania with this guy. Have a great time together.
Weird
get
sitting
blown.
Through WrestleMania.
Knowing you're going to get
like,
blown after?
No. Even weirder.
Best night ever.
Even weirder for the guy who's like just sitting there being like, I wish WrestleMania was over so I could suck this guy's dick already.
That's on him, though, man.
He's got to know that's a pay-per-view.
He didn't have to take me to WrestleMania. I feel like he'd get caught up in it, you know?
I love this advice because it truly is exactly what Murph would do.
Getting paid in getting head, basically. And I would not do it because I think prostitution's wrong. All right.
Wow.
Let's take a break. I'll come back with these three just heathen monsters right after these words. And... we're back. You wrote a book? Question mark?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
What is it and when is
it? It's a really great title. Get ready for this.
Not another book podcast.
It's called Hey You Up for a Serious Relationship, How to Turn Your Booty Call into Your Emergency Contact.
Really long title.
Wow. Yes.
It's actually longer than the rest of the book.
Some of it's a subtitle. I don't know which part of it's a subtitle, but some of it is.
There's like parentheses. It starts
in the middle of a word. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right. Emergency Contact. That's the subtitle. That's it. But yeah, it's out on Amazon and stuff. It's a satirical relationship advice book that takes you through all the stages of a relationship from like hooking up and to getting married.
Wow.
Goddamn marriage.
Is that how you started?
Did we start hooking up?
Did it start with like
or did you guys start married?
A booty call into an emergency contact?
We were married and then we... Actually, I did use you as an emergency contact pretty, like, way too quickly. And
yeah, we did. We just had a one-night stand that turned into a forever night stand where we just hooked up and then never left. Stand. Just, and I was like the ultimate leech. Just hanging out, Stan.
I actually just realized you guys did almost start out engaged because you guys got engaged in the Jake and Amir web series before you were.
Yeah, that's
right?
True.
Right.
Wow.
So you started out betrothed, then
hooked up.
Hooked up. Wow.
Then
so we're all over the place.
Moved in together.
And this book is already out? When did you guys write it? How did you write it and do the TV show at the same time?
Oh, boy.
With very little sleep, and
we had one day where we worked 25 hours.
Oh my god!
We literally to get a script in that day. I woke up at 5 a.m. so that I could get it in at noon, and then to get the manuscript for the book in on time, we had to both stay up all night until like 6 in the morning and finish it. Yeah. So I did like a full 25 hour day.
It was old school, pulling an all nighter.
Yeah.
When was the last time you had to do that? For the sake of comedy, probably the College Humor all night.
Yeah, and that, you know, you make the best comedy when you're working for 25 hours.
I noticed one of these chapters is just called So Tired, Please Kill Me.
I
can't believe I made that in. Sweet,
sweet
sleep.
Stuff that you do after you're married, too? Like,
we talk about, like, the
joint
wedding.
Bank accounts?
We have a chapter on engagement and on wedding planning.
Really? Mm.
Yeah, but it's all, like... It's not fake advice. It's all like kind of true, but it's all.
Well, no, there's some that's straight up satire.
Yeah, it's just like satire.
Right.
Like we have one essay that's how to make your family the Christmas family by turning your significant other against their own parents.
Oh, that's funny.
And so like the advice would work if you're a sociopath.
Yeah. Right.
So just nobody listen to any of the advice in the book.
You could also just say marry a Jew.
Just like on this podcast.
Right.
Yeah, if you marry a Jew, then your family's by default a Christmas family.
But then you have to go to both families over the holidays. This is kind of a way to like just make your family
the primary
family. Right, right.
You do have a chapter called No Hanukkah, Please.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Extremely controversial.
When did it come out?
It comes out February 14th.
Oh, February 13th.
Valentine's Day.
It comes out the day before Valentine's Day.
The day before Valentine's Day.
You're
but
romantic.
It will still be out on Valentine's Day.
But yeah, it's on Amazon. It's at like Barnes & Noble.
Oh,
regular
Snapdragon.
Bookstores and such.
So by the time you listen to this, it's probably out.
Oh, yeah.
Heck yeah. And then you also started a podcast.
Yeah.
With one Jake Hurwitz.
With her boy Jake here. It's called Not Another D&D Podcast.
That's also online right now.
It is online right now.
Yep.
It is very fun. The first day that we recorded it, we were telling you the story, Amir, but...
oh, come on. We don't have to get into this.
We were recording at the HeadGum office, and Jake did
where
not
they
reserve
subscribe?
It, and we got kicked out
of his own office.
The co-founder of the company got kicked out.
Of his office because he didn't reserve the room.
Yeah.
It was a real interesting peek behind the curtain about of how little people respect you.
Of course.
Like how little clout
Jake was like,
your
can we please
has.
Have it for another time? Get the fuck out of here, Hurwitz.
Yeah, I know. I'm
technically paid the rent on that.
And then I was, Marissa, our producer, pushed me.
Yeah. She emptied your backpack full of snacks that you were stealing from your own company.
You guys came downstairs and I was being held by my ankles upside down.
LaCroix just falling out of your jeans. Yeah. Don't touch the refrigerator on Monday either, her bitch.
Very good. Very good. We're all
kidding.
Having fun.
We're just joking, man. Yeah.
Herbitch really stinks because my father called me that growing up.
Oh, boy.
Which is weird because that's his last name.
I know.
Well, where do you think he learned it? He was probably Herbitch at one point.
He was.
We were all somebody else's bitch at some point.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's a D&D campaign? Am I?
Yeah, it's a D&D campaign. The idea is that they're adventuring in a world that's already been saved. So they're kind of like the... You guys are kind
of... It's like the fallout from, like, an epic band of adventurers, but now, like, the world is, like, getting shitty again.
Got it.
But, like, all in a unique way due to the world being saved.
Yeah.
So this, I think the idea almost started on our podcast when Murph was on it talking about how much he loves D&D, and then Jake's like, I can get into that. I like fantasy shit.
And then a couple weeks later...
Murph used to me, like, multiple times. Like, it's everything that you like. It's like... Epic fantasy shit and doing bits.
Yeah. And you can just be a cool, like, his character is Aragorn, essentially. He's, you're what? He described himself as 6'6" of muscle and beard.
That's right. You just get to be what you want.
He's the bastard of the mountain. Oh, yeah. He was raised by dwarves in a dwarfenage.
A dwarfenage.
A human raised by dwarves, left at the foot of the mountain, pride of the mountain, pride of Iron Deep. That's the mountain range that Murph named. I mean, it's really, like, it's so badass. I love looking at even, like, the maps of Westeros, you know?
Oh,
like,
the maps
of Middle-earth. And, like, Murph drew a map that has, like, the names of forests, the names of mountains, the ocean, like, the world has its own name.
Yeah.
And then you get to just, like, explore it.
Bahumia.
Which I keep saying in the voice of, like, an orc shaman. Bahumia.
Bahumia.
At the risk of giving a little spoiler, Jake's character does start a bar fight by refusing to buy this group of, like, barbarian dudes a drink. Because he was too proud.
I was too proud. That's the fucking... I think that's my favorite thing about D&D is that, like, they're... Murph has, like, the dungeon master, like, knows the world. You know what would happen everywhere. But, like, there are no rules.
Right?
There's just, I think you said it, like, there are no rules there, but there are consequences.
That's correct.
Ooh, that's so beautiful. I don't remember you saying that, but that's good.
The dungeon master is daddy, you know?
Yeah. Right.
Daddy master.
Well, he's daddy mommy.
Daddy mommy.
So I'm like, can I smash a beer glass over this guy's head? And Murph is like, you can. We're going to find out if, like, but shit's going to happen.
Yeah.
So we'll find out what happens if you want to do that.
And the first episode's online now, right?
Yeah. Depends on when this comes out. There might be two episodes out. I don't know. Episode zero is out, and the first episode is also out. Second episode might be out.
Not another
D&D podcast.
Sold wherever podcasts are sold. Or you can just go to headgum.com, because I really hope it's on there. Otherwise, Jake has to
actually doing
someone.
It with Earwolf.
That actually makes a lot of sense, because they have two studios.
Yeah.
So you'll never get kicked out of the building.
They don't bully me there.
Cool. Anything else that you're working on, or those are the big
those
two?
Are the TV those show.
Are, yeah, you had the TV
two.
Show. That TV show.
Oh yeah,
aired.
TV show. You can also find the TV show on Amazon.
Yeah,
it's
on Amazon
not
now.
Streaming for free. That's the web series. The web series is also on Amazon for some reason. Who knows? How do these decisions get made? But the TV show is also on there. But
wait,
you can't pay for
oh,
it.
The TV show came from the web series.
Kind of.
Question mark.
You guys are in the Hot Date web series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But weirdly, we sold the show as, like, a pilot that we were writing, and then we wanted to perform and do stuff in the meantime, because it takes forever to anything get developed, and we did the web series while we were writing the show.
Yes.
I see.
Yeah.
You guys should take a vacation.
I agree. I'm thinking Prague.
Oh.
Prague, cool.
I've already been there, but it's so cool.
But can you guys record from there? I'm worried that the D&D
podcast would
suffer.
I know, it's tough. The D&D podcast would suffer. Yeah. I'll
be there.
I need to sit and read fucking guides all day.
Oh, I love that shit.
Fucking guides.
Fucking guides, man. Got like 7 big-ass books I got to refer to all the time.
Yeah, you have to like... I won't talk too much about D&D, but like knowing like what spells do and shit...
Wait, it's like a master library where everyone has to do the same spells?
Well, no, you've got like a monster manual that has all the fucking monsters in it. So if these guys like run into the swamp or something, they might fight a frogman. But if they punch the bartender in the face, then I have to be like, okay, what kind of creature is this bartender. They're a half-orc. Maybe they're a barbarian. So now I have to go look and find, like, a berserker-type character, something in the Monster Manual. And to make that all fast, I kind of have to already know that. I have to be like, okay, all right, I know where to find berserker. Yeah, so you have to study.
It's crazy. Do you think that you've, like, emptied your brain of other information?
I think I am for sure a bigger idiot.
What hobbies and passions have fallen by the wayside as you cram more fantasy
exercise. Exercise has gone away. Jiu-jitsu has gone away.
Yeah, who has time to actually fight when you right, have to learn how to monsters about interact?
Monsters. Yeah. Why would I need to defend myself or my family when I could put gnomes?
What are you going to do? Because Hard One Shortfoot has a fucking great axe, a two-handed great axe that he wields left-handed.
You're now, Hard One Shortfoot.
Hard One Shortfoot.
Hard One.
Hard One Shortfoot. Is my character's name. And what's yours, Emily?
Moonshine Sibin.
Yeah, that's right. A crick elf.
She lives
I'm
in the
crick elf.
She lives
covered
in the
mushrooms.
Crick.
You really learn what people want to be.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Jake has two bad feet, and his last name in this fantasy world is Surefoot.
That's right.
So in this fantasy world, my feet are fine, and I don't know. What else can I have?
I do. I describe my character as thick of calf and quad.
Yeah, that was very important to you when we were talking about our characters. You wanted those big, meaty legs.
I wanted
legs
to have jacked-ass legs.
And I couldn't help
no
but the entire time
ever
look at your legs while you were talking about how meaty those legs
You should
legs
make
would be.
Jake break his leg in the next episode.
I would be so sad.
You slip and punch and crack your leg open.
You well, do
Murph,
get...
Murph can't make me break my leg.
Right.
He can only like make me roll the dice to see if I fall or not. My like the fate is
he
up
did,
to my
he,
leg breaking.
Spoiler alert. He gets wrapped up by a big snake at one point and rolled a one trying to escape from it. So I just explained that he like stressed real hard against it and just like let out a little fart and a tiny little moan like, ah! So there also, are moments like
I was supposed
that.
To be like a great climber and there was a time where I was like trying to climb a wall and I also
rolled a two, I think, and you just fell into the puddle. And
before I rolled, I said, watch this.
Every time you say watch this, you roll a one or a two and fall down.
But Hardwood is the kind of guy that says watch this before he does everything.
Yeah.
That was when we were teaching Jake how to play the game, I just set up this scenario where there were these like bandits in this bar that they had to fight. And first thing Jake did was come in and try to cleave the table with his axe, and he rolled terribly and just got his axe stuck in a table.
You're sort
that
of
was,
a, yeah,
that was his first move.
You're a
like,
lumberjack.
You can swing the axe at the guys. It was like, no, I wanted to do well.
And then I think you had to spend the next turn getting the axe out of the table.
And you also rolled a one, and you cut yourself pretty badly.
I think if we didn't have that practice session, you would have just died in session one.
That makes sense. I did get knocked out in session one.
Yeah.
You're like a lumberjack. Jack laughing stock. So you're jacked, walk around saying, watch this.
I also decapitate a snake, so like let's just fuck it.
Oh yeah, there's a decent relax amount of decapitation.
Guys, spoilers.
The show's so good.
Spoilers.
Go subscribe to it.
Subscribe and listen. And can you guys have guests on that show or like
we're
people come in for just like a little bit?
Yeah, our kind of plan is to
well I might be interested. But Gabrus, I think, would
yeah,
be
yeah, we gotta get
too.
You on there, we gotta get Gabrus on there. Our plan is to kind of have different story arcs and then to bring in people as different characters. So,
we
like, if we show up in this town.
To come on as one.
You know,
that's cool.
Maybe Adam Conover's a gnome that lives in some town that needs help and then he joins the party for a little bit.
Oh, great. I love it.
All right, let's get to one more question before we have to go.
Let's do it.
Never mind. We all want to leave.
Guy's name, Emily. What's a guy's name?
Chip Fontaine.
That's cool.
That's a good
name. Is that
a
real name already?
It's like a nice porn name, I think.
Yeah.
Chip Fontaine.
Chip Fontaine.
I'm 25-year-old male grad student in Toronto, and
classic
I need
Chip.
And I'm in need of some advice. So I've been in a relationship for over a year with an amazing lady. Relationship with a year with an amazing lady, and I'm really happy. And this is the best girlfriend I could ever ask for. This is how all the questions start. Mm-hmm. It's a perfect
Everything's perfect. She's great, and I'm good.
And I'm thinking about
end of email. Sincerely yours, Chip Fontaine.
But here's the rub, Chip writes. About a week ago, I had a really intense and vivid sex dream about a friend of mine who I go to school with. I've known her since undergrad, and we're really close, but I've never found her attractive until this dream. All week, I had to see her, and I've been lusting after her like crazy. I would never want to date her, but I want to have sex with her so badly I can't even look her in the eyes. She's always been open about the fact that she finds me attractive and wants to sleep with me. Out of line, by the way, right?
Yeah.
That's what he wrote.
Yeah, she's the bad guy.
Which obviously has added to the problem. I also really don't get it because my girlfriend and I have amazing sex, like literally the best I've ever had, and frequently. Have you ever had this happen? What did you do? What should I do? Help. Love you too. Big fan since middle school.
Wow.
Toda, I love Chip Fontaine.
That's a powerful sex dream. I was like hearing this kind of being like, yeah, sex dreams are just like your mind's just churning shit up. It's just smashing two things together.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be your fantasy, right? Sex, because you can also have nightmares. And
I once had a wet dream where I like had my dick in a fence.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. And that got me off.
Yeah, I've prematurely ejaculated in dreams. Like, they're not sexy. I've never had a sex dream where I was just like, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was perfect.
It wasn't a sex lucid dream. It's
always like with a random person that you're like, well, okay.
Yeah.
Why?
And I think that's like usually why it's good to just like leave it there in the dream.
Right.
Like,
I don't think you cheating on your girlfriend with somebody you aren't actually attracted to is going to be the hottest sex ever. Like, your dream was probably better.
So how?
Is a good point.
Do you tell anybody? Do you tell your girlfriend? Do you tell this woman? Do anything about it?
Personally, I would break up with the girlfriend and try to fuck the friend because I've also been here. Even though I don't think that you're going to have better sex than you did in the dream, I think I've been here where I, like, had a sex dream about somebody and, like, had to see it through.
Yeah, and, like, if you're going to sacrifice a relationship, that's a small price to pay.
Totally. Because
it's eventually going to break up anyway, and now you get to have sex with somebody
different. So the seeds of doubt are sown.
Yeah.
I will say that's probably true.
I would say...
The seeds of doubt are sown. So like, too. I don't think that you're necessarily... Like, if you're suddenly desperately lusting after someone else, like...
It's a bad sign.
Bad sign. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the beginning of the end.
On a macro level. So you might as well just get rid of the girlfriend now, see the sex stream through, and then you're a single guy again, which is fine because you're 25 and Toronto.
And then you can just start having sex dreams about anyone and then fucking them.
Yeah.
If you have that magical power, God, that'd be amazing.
Is there a D&D but for porn? So like you're just like Leisure Suit Larry going around
you can just fuck in D&D.
Oh, really? There's a whole book about
fucking D&D.
You can definitely fuck.
Yeah,
cool. I like it even
trust.
More.
Trust.
Next round, Hardwood's going back to the bar.
Oh, you rolled a one and you were raped in the ass by a gnome.
Jesus, man.
Yeah.
Hardwood can't get it up.
Let me roll
again. Hardwood sure cock.
Hard cock surefoot. All right. Well, what did this happen to you? You said yes. What did you do? Jake already answered what he would do. What should he do? Break up with your girlfriend and have sex with a friend.
I mean, it's not so much about having sex with a friend because I do think that's going to end up being disappointing, but I do think it's a bad sign if you're like feverishly lusting after someone else.
I think he needs to learn this lesson probably. Like as a 25-year-old, I think he needs to. It sounds like he's going to break up with his girlfriend anyway, because if you're like lusting after not only just like. People or the idea of having sex with other people, a specific person, that's really bad.
Yeah. Right. That's true.
So you're right. The seeds of doubt have already been sown. So I think he needs to break up with her. And then if he, you know, sleeps with his friend and that ends up not being as good, that's a learning experience.
Yeah.
And you'll know
true.
In the future not to just try to fuck
it's
everyone.
We're advising him to do the wrong thing.
Because he needs
so
to make that
learn.
Mistake, right?
But it is kind of true because like once you have enough sex, you realize that there's so much a disappointing sex. Mm. And then it makes it less like, oh, I am attracted to this person, so I want to sleep with them. Because you can kind of look at someone and be like, that sex would
yeah,
be
like
bad.
95% chance that would be weird.
I can picture what that is.
Yeah.
It's so important to realize you can do that.
Yeah.
So how about this for bad advice? Cheat on your girlfriend.
No.
Then you have sex with this girl, and then it's like, okay, I got that out of my system, and I can still be with this amazing woman.
No.
I think we all agree.
The worst.
So 4 for 4
don't
on that.
Do that. Good Lord.
That way you have sex, but you also have your amazing girlfriend. Right?
Let's
what's
roll
the
for
downside
it.
There? I roll a 38.
Oh my God.
The highest you can get is a 20. Well, on the 20 side. Is there a more than 20 sided die?
There's a, yeah. Well, there's a 10 sided die that goes up to 100, technically.
Wow.
Because you roll it twice?
No, you roll the 10 sided die and then you roll you roll a 100-sided die, and it's not a 100-sided die. It's just a 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. And then you roll another 10-sided die.
Oh, yeah. I see.
That's like a 1 through 10 one.
Cool.
Anyway, this is really interesting.
I love it.
Dice mechanics.
I want to buy my own dice.
You got to.
I want to buy my own dice, and I want to buy that fucking little figurine.
You haven't got it yet? He's so good. You designed him perfectly.
I did. Don't tell anybody on the podcast.
But your beard is so dope. He's like human, but he's got like a dwarven beard.
How have you seen it?
Oh, because he designed a character and then screenshotted it and sent it to our text thread.
Jake just winced and curled up.
You designed a character?
I also like a fucking party in New York City. I went to Burning Man, man.
Wait, did you go to Burning Man?
Yeah, I did go to Burning Man.
When was it?
Was it before or after you designed your fantasy character?
Before I designed my fantasy dwarven character.
And then when you made this fairy, you sent it to...
What was the... Like leagueofheroes.com or something?
It's probably Hero Forge.
Oh, yeah, Hero Forge. Yeah. That's where I did it. You can like... Sort of like creating an avatar, like any video game thing. You can like... Or your Bitmoji, if you will.
People are listening to this podcast like are wondering whether or not Bitmoji. They should accept money to get blown. And meanwhile, we're turning Jake into a huge fucking dork. D&D is like, before this, it was MMA was the thing that I would ruin party conversations with. Yeah. Where I'd be like, you guys got to get in UFC. And people would just like shut down while I just talked to them about UFC. Now it's D&D that I used to ruin.
D&D's got a higher success rate than MMA, though. D&D, true. Most people are like, oh, yeah, I would try that.
That's how this whole thing started, because I got fucking drunk at a holiday party and it was like close enough that after our podcast where we talked about it, I basically had three like buzzed conversations in a row about D&D, and I was like, fuck it, I'm in.
I'm in, man.
You know what I noticed? We forgot. We didn't do any unsolicited advice this episode.
I think we basically turned it into a pitch for playing D&D.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's good unsolicited advice. Mm. Unless you have specific unsolicited advice. Just advice that you have that you're hanging on to that no one's necessarily asked for.
Pickle your own turnips.
All right. Wow. So the D&D thing. D&D it is, then?
Pickle your own turnips. This has been If I Were You.
Pickle your own turnips.
Stop buying pickled turnips at the store.
And you make them from what? Radishes? Or is it the other way around?
Turnips.
I don't know what that is.
Turnips and one beet just for the color. So what you get some pink pickled turnips, throw it on anything.
It's anything. To ruin it. You can ruin desserts, sandwiches, snacks. Nobody wants a turnip.
Your landlord. I don't even know what a turnip looks like.
I assumed it was a radish. Turn
they
up
look
for what?
Like radishes.
Do you cut them? Do you chop? Are they
chopped? You chop them into like little. I don't know, fronds. I don't know what that word means.
Like a circle.
Like a little stick.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
These look
almost like
radishes.
A shoestring fry, but you cut them up like to look like a little shoestring.
And then you
fry.
Pickle them after that.
And then you pickle them.
And then you put them on a sandwich.
And then you put them on. I've been putting them on turkey burgers, beet burgers,
beet burgers with turnips. We were talking about a fantasy character for 5 minutes, and yet this is the most embarrassing thing said on the podcast. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the beet burners are delicious.
I'm telling you, people are gonna be like, all right, fine, Emily, I'll try it. I'll pickle my own turnips. And then they're gonna be like, I don't know how I lived without pickled turnips.
These are so much better than the dry turnips I've been eating on my beet burgers. Have you had a beet burger with pickled turnip?
I haven't.
Weird.
I've been eating a microwave lean cuisine lunch.
Emily and I are like the only couple that don't really eat meals together because our diets are so different. Like I eat like an absolute idiot. Like when we were recording the show, we were in Chicago and we were riding around the corner from a 7-Eleven, and I just ate 7-Eleven every fucking night.
What's
pizza.
Dinner at 7-Eleven?
7-Eleven pizza, 7-Eleven chicken wings, just eating chips for dinner.
You have, like,
I was
the,
basically
the,
I ate like
hot dogs
a heroin
and the
addict.
Taquitos that turn all day in that thing?
Yeah, man.
I think in Chicago, honestly, I think it's probably better.
Than some other
sure.
food.
Then like, well, then somewhere else where like the stuff does like the inventory just stays for a longer time. The hot dogs turn and turn and turn for a week, and then they throw them away. 7-Eleven, it feels like those chicken taquitos are getting bought every single day in Chicago.
Yeah,
true.
We were We were in the like business district, and everything shut down around us. So my only choice for a late night meal was 7-Eleven.
Damn.
Yeah. And
meanwhile, you know, Emily was pickling turnips.
And Emily was pickling
turnips. No, I didn't have the
and...
time to do that in Chicago. I wish.
I was eating them raw, son.
Just your hotel room is just full of little a full quarter jars. Of jars.
There's a taquito in one.
Don't go in the bathtub. I'm pickling beets.
Oh, wow. Bathtub beets.
That's your DJ name. All right. Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, man.
Thank you for having us.
You've done the show separate. Now this is your first time together.
Yes.
Awesome. Beautiful.
Do you want a kiss?
Yeah.
All right.
He's talking to a mirror.
Yeah. Whoa, three-way. Awesome. Opening theme song was that Love Yourself cover by Dylan. I think his name was Dylan.
No. It was Dylan.
Barstow.
Wow.
Great. Dylan Barstow, right?
Yes, that's great.
Wow.
Great memory.
Good
shit.
Well,
you know, it stood out. It was a good cover.
And a good name. And this closing one is written by Lahiru. It's a Yes Dude parody. Sorry, a Hey Jude parody titled Yes Dude. So you know it's going to be good. Shout out to his Twitter. It's Lahiru. And shout out to you guys.
Don't forget to buy the book.
For writing a book and starting a podcast in the dead of winter when nobody else wants to work. Murph and Emily still churn out the shit, the content.
I love creating content.
Yeah. What do you think the next content you're going to write is? I guess it's a movie, right? You've done a TV show, a book, a podcast.
Actually, I'm working on an album.
Oh, music.
Bathtub Beats?
Bathtub Beats.
Oh, I could do it under Bathtub Beats. It was going to be the first album I did under my own name.
Okay. Can I recommend the title Turn Up for What?
Yes, with a giant turnip? Recommend it. Yeah, you can recommend it.
You don't have to use it. But at the same time, I'd be really disappointed if you didn't. All right, we'll be back next week.
And I could call it Pickled Tink.
That's right. Pickled Tink.
Pickled Tink, that's good.
I should say that the email address for theme songs and questions is ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. We'll be back next week, and we're coming to Canada and Austin soon. So
oh my God.
Come watch us. Come see us live. Tickets at ifiwereyoushow.com. All right, bye.
Yes, dude, if I were you, I would listen to this podcast. These two Jews will help you seize the cheese. They'll answer your cues and make fun of you too. Yes, dude, Jake and Amir, they'll give you advice, name you Krandis. The show is about to begin, so listen in to If I Were You.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will. Can you do that? So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.